So he's not going to eat a garbage bag, right? And
no, no, he's trouble. Not going to eat it.
Just going to tear it up?
If
that's fine. I don't care. Tear it up. You have fun with it. You're not going to eat it. I'm all for it. Go for it.
All right.
Have your own fun.
So let's just get a little bit of silence for a second then, if Ozzy will let us.
He's kind of like a one animal Marx Brothers, like just anarchy.
There you go. That's the stuff.
All right.
Now we got it. Now we got it going on.
Okay, just if I can get cooperation from the guitar player and the dog, we'll be aces here. Okay, that's fine. Good enough. All right. Let's, okay, everyone. I'll start the show, and then we will continue the show after that. Good. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
And I'm Ian Boothby. And of course, we're broadcasting live from Comic-Con.
Yes, from the floor of Comic-Con. I'm sure you can hear the buzz of the thrum of industry below us as people are looking through sealed bags of things. Is that what they do?
I think if you listen really carefully, you can hear someone going through sealed bags right now. It may sound like we've got a dog in the office who's going through the trash.
Yeah,
but honestly,
we're at
Comic-Con. Yeah. And people are going through Mylar bags.
We're in San Diego. Woohoo! We're staying in a shoebox. I think that's what it is, right? We just found a couple of cardboard boxes, put them together. We have a small hovel.
Look over there in the corner next to the Voltron statue. No, yes. You're looking at Optimus Prime, the Voltron statue. Oh. That's the Micronauts.
Is that
the Voltron next to it? Dave, look, it's our old friend.
Oh, David M is here. Hi, Dave. Imagine seeing you in San Diego. I'm surprised that you made it down this far.
I just finished dinner at a San Diego restaurant, and I was sitting with my back to the cast of Silicon Valley.
Oh, well.
But I was cool about it. I didn't let on that I knew who they were.
Yeah.
And they were cool about it. They didn't let on that they knew who I was. So it was really a great Comic-Con here in San Diego moment.
I'm glad that I only know one person from that show. BJ Miller is on there, right? He's on that show?
TJ.
No, you're thinking the porn version.
I'm thinking of
Silicon in my valley is what you're thinking of. With BJ Miller.
I was going to say Silicon Valley, but I'm way worse than you are as a human.
Yeah, you're here because of the porn convention that's happening after Comic Con. So coincidentally, I ran into Dave here as well.
That's, that's what I'm here for.
All right.
Yeah,
but it is great to be here at Comic Con.
I'm really enjoying this time we've had. We're going to have some great interviews as well, all this week as well. We're going to have a lot of guests.
The ghost of Stan Lee.
The ghost of Stan Lee will be joining us.
I assume he'll probably be dead by the time the show comes out, so that'll be a very tasteless
joke. Hopefully
his
cameo career is dead. That's my wish, but probably too good to hope for.
Well, I hope he just makes a cameo in this show.
Oh, that'd be nice.
All right. Well, why don't you introduce our friend?
Excelsior.
I know you've said hello to our friend, but why don't you say who our friend is and whatnot?
So we're joined by a former guest of the show, David M., well-known musician, man about town, raconteur, and now starting a career as a guerrilla troubadour, showing up unannounced at events and playing theme songs for that.
I don't think you emphasize the U in guerrilla enough.
Gorilla?
Yeah.
So you want...
Yeah, because I don't want people coming down expecting, you know, me with the little hat and swinging on a vine and stuff.
Yeah, that's... You
know,
That would be wrong.
It would be wrong. No, gorilla approach. Gorilla approach.
So,
to performing.
Okay.
Show up when they don't want you to show up.
Yeah. Well, I was with you at one of those.
Yeah.
You showed up at Wise Hall.
Yeah.
In the bar section.
Yeah.
You played over the crashing bang of a foosball table.
Yeah.
And you played several songs, to much to the confusion of the foosballers.
Yeah.
I believe that's the name
for
those.
The acoustics were phenomenal in that tiny room. Like, for the, you know, the foosball was just, like, in your face.
Yeah. It was amazing how all of their sounds were swallowed by the room, except for the foosball.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
But I did one in there was a David Bowie tribute back in February that I wasn't invited to play, even though I have a lot of David Bowie material in my repertoire, adapted for, you know, the world's worst, most depressing musical format of all, which is a white man with an acoustic guitar. Trying to make it so that it's not like a complete horror is the challenge.
Yeah.
So I wasn't invited to that. And so I thought I'll just go down there and guerrilla style.
Yeah.
Be out on the sidewalk. And there is some YouTube evidence of me and the dog down there doing the little show.
Yeah, we'll just point out that your dog, Ozzy, Sir Osbert, I believe is his title. Oswald of Barkington. I'm sorry. I got it mixed up there. I'm sorry. I was thinking of Osbert Barkwell, who's a totally different
dog. Oh, that's from the porno version.
That's the porn version of. And your dog is with us. He has succeeded in spilling water on the floor.
Yeah, that's fine.
And he's tearing apart bags.
Yeah, and so there'll be a little bit. He's refiled a lot of my scripts.
And he's refiled a lot of.
Well, he's generally part of the show when I play.
Yeah, so this is perfect.
I did my little David Bowie salute at a weird, little hard to find mall as a guest of a record store.
Yeah.
And Ozzy came along and he was, you know, running around and dropping his ball for people to throw. So it becomes part of the show.
Yeah. So this was a store called
Music Madhouse.
Music Madhouse Records.
Yeah. Mm. It's in a little mall in a residential building. Very near Lougheed Mall.
Okay.
But I can point at the building, and I defy you to get in there and to the record store in less than half an hour.
Yeah.
We couldn't do it.
So that's your challenge, audience.
Yeah. So that's how good a store it is.
It is.
That it's making, the guy is making a living.
Yeah.
Working in a record store that is otherwise unattainable as a place. So you can't.
Very, very, very hard to find. Very. You can be in the little mall, and there's hardly anything in it, and virtually nothing was open.
Yeah.
Mm. And you still couldn't find it.
Some people say you can only find it when you stop looking. The second you stop looking, you relax, and then your eyes open, and then you actually see it.
There it is.
But only then.
There it is in front of you.
Well, like an optical thing.
That's right. Yeah, it's like a magic eye store.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, is it as good as a record store that you and I once worked at, Reminiscing Records? At the Wally Exchange, is it as good as that record store?
Well,
I'm just looking for like a comparison of.
Yeah, it is. It's a good record store.
Okay. Does he have UCDs?
Yeah.
That's all I look for.
I never got a chance really to go and see you guys when you were there at the Reminiscing Records. Could we recreate that and just see what it would be like?
Well, when I worked there, David didn't work there. He would just come in and stand on the other side of the counter, and we talk. That was really good.
But, oh, okay. Well, let's take us back.
Okay.
And so you're visiting there.
Sure.
And let's see. What's the year?
What was that, around 89, 90?
Yeah. I started there in 90.
Okay. I was gone by that point. I'd worn out my welcome.
Okay. So who's working there right now?
I was just working a summer
you're
job.
You're working.
There. Yeah, I'm
David,
working there. I'm
David
working.
Dedrick, you're working.
David comes in.
Is there a bell of some sort, like a ding-a-ling kind of situation?
You can do that sound effect.
Okay, right, ready? And we'll just take you back there to 1990. Sure. And ding-a-ling.
Yeah. Oh, hey, David.
Hi, Dave. I see you're working today.
That's right. I'm surprised you're here. I just found this great CD. I couldn't believe how good it is. It's The Byrds. It's a CD of all their singles and B-sides. It's great. I never even heard half these songs, and they're fantastic. The song Why? It's amazing. Why did I know about this for so long until I started working at a record store and listening to CDs?
What is a CD?
That's not true.
In 89.
There was lots of CDs there. Most of them are stolen.
It was still a record store, primarily.
Yeah, it was primarily
a record store. Hey, guys, I'm Ian. You don't know me yet. Well, you
do from
high school. But you don't know me looking like this. I'm a time traveler.
Oh, okay.
I've come to warn you about 9/11.
Oh, thanks.
Make sure it happens, or there'll be great consequences. Okay, I got to go. Are these CDs? Oh, those are still around, huh? We have vinyl where I'm from.
Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
Bye.
Don't forget to add $40 vinyl.
Yeah.
Then it'll seem like a bargain where we're working.
And that's the end of the scene.
$5.99 it was a fair price for a record in those days.
Yeah.
$4.99. That's what I look for. The $4.99 records was my go-to.
$3.99 was the price for a long time. It went up slightly, but then people lost interest in the vinyls because the CD.
The CD revolution.
Yeah. and now that's dead, and now it's going to come back again.
CDs are coming back. I was just talking to someone the other day at Audiophile,
yeah.
And I said, out of curiosity, I said, are people starting to buy more CDs again? And he said, yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And I was like, darn it. It's too bad for me, because I was enjoying this time when no one wanted CDs.
Well, you know, last year, for the first time ever, there were no fun CDs.
Like, yes.
I have
quite a few of them.
We put out two box sets.
Yeah.
One was a 10-CD box set with an extra disc that's No Fun's Greatest Hits.
Yep.
1975 to 2015. And that's only 12 songs. Like, it's, you know, less than 40 minutes. Like, that was the idea, was to make it just 12 songs.
Yeah.
That's all. And then there's been boner discs added to it since then.
All right.
So it's now up to 15, soon to be 16.
Nice. I still haven't got that 15.
Can people get these, or is it one of these magic eye puzzles and only when you don't care,
yeah,
they'll appear?
It was made available for 1 month and then put on moratorium.
And so that's what you do with your CD issues nowadays.
But it isn't, you know,
demand.
You can't, like, download them from any sites. You can't, you don't see them on YouTube or anything like that, because I know every single person who has them.
That's true.
And so no one dares.
I was going to put them on Pirate Bay, and then I was like, oh, he'll know who did this.
That's right. The other, and then at Christmas time, we put out an 8-CD box set, which has the 1975 No Fun at Christmas album, the very first No Fun at Christmas album, as well as a new album of Christmas stuff that was done in December.
Yeah.
Over 2 days. So, you know, 40 years apart. That CD is called Five Wenceslases and 27 other contemporary No Fun Christmas classics.
Cool. And words you didn't know how to pluralize.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you do it.
And there are five different versions of Good King Wenceslas on it. Five.
Most other sets will only give you three.
Yeah,
five.
I really like that song. I don't know what it has to do with Christmas, really. I know it's a Feast of Stephen, but whatever that means. I don't even know when that is. But it's the day after Christmas. So that's Boxing Day.
Well,
so Saint Stephen was a boxer.
26. Well,
it's finally been explained to us.
Well, no.
More of an MMA fighter?
He was
Stone Cold Stephen, Feast of Steve Austin. Anyway, I hope everyone's enjoying our Christmas show at Comic-Con. Now, if any songs get played during this, feel free to, like, record them.
Yes.
And make your own CD.
Yeah, that's right.
And then take that CD and mail it to Dave, and then he'll send you a mix CD of something else.
There you go.
Are you still doing that mix?
Yes, it's quite a project. It's taken me quite a while to do this project. I apologize. People are still waiting. I am doing it still. It's just I got a lot of people who wanted CDs.
Well, you do a lot of research about them, personal things. You dig deep.
It's not that
and then
sad.
Make the mixtape. They don't know you're watching them. Looking them up.
Here's what I do. I make a CD. I burn the CD. I drive around with it in my car and listen to it. And I go, this stinks. Then I take it back and I take songs off or change the mix of how they're on. Then I burn the CD again. Then I drive around my car, listen to it. Then I go, oh, that's pretty good. I like the first side. Second side needs some work. Then I go back again. It takes a while.
Yeah, and once again, this is a free CD.
Yeah.
So this is a really good business model you've got.
You miss the cassettes.
Yes. But even with cassettes, you know what? With cassettes, I adapted my mini disc player to make cassettes. So I would do 45-minute mixes on the mini disc, and then I would record those onto cassette. And that way I could move songs around and control things and do edits. I edited out the slow section of MacArthur Park. I didn't like that part of it. I liked the song and then the kind of groove, the funk, you know, yeah, that part of it, the break. And then, but I didn't like the slow part. I just thought it was a bit of a drag, so I took it out.
So
sue me.
You're the kind of kid who wouldn't eat his vegetables?
Yes. No, I actually like vegetables. So I'm the kind of kid who wouldn't eat his liver because I need it to survive.
Well, there you go.
I think what you said just made the dog sad. Also, it was all this liver bashing. He's like, the liver's great, you idiots. If I had some liver, I'd be all over that business. What are you talking about? Oh, wait, I thought it was the dog. That was actually the ghost of Stan Lee. I apologize.
Excelsior.
I so miss eating liver. Oh, the ghost of Jack Kirby's beating him up in the corner.
Finally. It should happen.
Actually, why I'm in town is I'm here in San Diego for the tsunami benefit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's a tsunami benefit?
Sarah McLachlan is doing a tsunami benefit.
Okay.
Here,
okay.
There's bound to be one sometime.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, they come in waves.
Yeah. They come in waves. Just one thing. So I'll now sing Tsunami Benefit.
Excellent.
I was Christmasing at St. Bart's with my family when the news came over on the internet news about a swiftly rising sea. And I said to myself, that could have been me, but it wasn't. 'Cause when tsunami benefit, we all benefit. Come to our show and help women and men a bit. Tsunami, tsunami, tsunami below me. Tsunami, tsunami, tsunami below me. You don't know me, so show me. To our show and help women and men a bit. Tsunami.
Nice, that was good. I feel so uplifted.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was at the concert for Bangladesh.
Was that all about a tsunami as well?
No.
It was lack of tsunami.
See, that's the thing. Yeah, if you could just like get that tsunami to where they need it, then
that's
we'd be exactly all
right.
Yeah.
That's what the purpose of this benefit is, maybe, to get tsunamis where we need them.
Yeah, we're shipping them. You tell us where what's dry, and we'll ship a tsunami right to your door. The technology's there, I'm sure.
I think it is by now.
Well, I'd say freeze it. Freeze it. And sure. That'd be the easiest way to transport it.
You guys, you know what I want to do now? I want to stop the show for a second.
Okay.
And I'd like to change David's mic.
All right.
Because I feel like he needs a mic right up to his face.
Okay.
Why?
Just because you seem kind of low to me in the mix. So we're gonna stop for a second.
Okay.
And I'm just gonna grab one of those thingies.
Sure.
Mic stands. That's the word I'm looking for.
Hi, Oz. I am opposed to this breach of the live broadcast.
I always like these parts where we're not. Are we still recording?
Yeah. I'll just
okay. All right. Yeah. No. This is bonus material. Whatever you want to do, Dave can't stop you.
Good day comes by. Good day comes by. Good day comes by. We hate the left, and when there's some about. Stuff to wiretap about. I feel good in a secret way. I get to watch and it's a sunny day. Good day comes by. Good day comes by. Good day comes by. We tape your talk. The satellite is down. I learn my secrets way underground. I'll stop.
You'll stop? Okay. I guess James is mine.
I was just fooling around there with a little thing.
I know, it was great though.
Okay, that's gonna. I'm turning it off now.
Thank you.
All right, we're back.
What?
We're back. Ian's not back.
What's going on?
Ian's making his way across the convention floor here.
Guys, I just came from the Thor 4 panel.
Oh, and what is happening there? Thor on the floor.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, that's the new movie.
Yeah, Thor on the floor is what
it's called. Thor
on the
floor. I like it.
I hate to tell you this, but this just went like that.
Oh, my God.
Just went like what?
Like that.
Oh.
I caught it.
Okay, well this one second.
It would have hit me if I didn't.
Okay, we got to fix that. Here we go. You got to put something on the floor that will not be eaten by a dog. Now, this is the trick.
Oh, that is tricky. Or.
Oh, so just dangling above Ozzy's head. That won't be jumped out at
all. Is that better?
Win?
Does that make a...
I'm from the old school, which means like before when they called it the show business.
Yes. We all remember that.
I think it's not really a show if everything is planned out and is executed flawlessly beginning to end.
Well, then you will like this show.
Well, yes. I think that in the show business, every show should end in madness and chaos.
Good. It's good that I just boiled water down the wrong way.
Yeah, now you're
I'll be out of the picture for a while, guys.
Yeah.
Now you're getting the spirit.
Now, you might be thinking Dave swallowed that down the wrong way down his throat. I wish that was the case.
Yes.
He really used the wrong hole.
Yeah, there's several holes to choose from.
Yes. I bunged that up.
Anyway, guys. Yeah. I just came back from the Wonder Woman screening.
Oh, and what's happening with that? How's
Everyone's
that?
Wondering where that woman is.
All right. Ugh. Okay, everyone. Well,
can we go through one show without you going, ugh?
Wait! You do that. I guess I did. I did do that.
Okay.
Sorry, everyone.
When are they going to start calling show business vaudeville again? That's what I want to know.
Think the answer is never.
Well, we're in the, like, 16s, right? So when did vaudeville happen the first time? When was it in the 19s? Vaudeville started in 19 what?
Well, I think it would have been around the turn of the century at that time.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And when did it wrap up?
Probably in the 1930s it really started to... I mean, movies started the death of it.
Yeah, it was movies getting more popular. The silent movies were very popular, and they started filming the vaudeville acts.
Yes.
And that was going to kill it, because the whole point of the vaudeville act was you could tour it, and people wouldn't have seen it.
Right.
Once they saw what you were doing, then that was the end. Yeah. But now what we have is, they're calling it show business, but there's so little money in it for all but a few people, and so many people are doing it, that they should just go call it vaudeville again.
I would agree with that.
That's what you have. It's a bunch of, solo operators and fly-by-night characters and little...
I mean, we have a dog act here as well.
Yes, we have a dog act. He's just making himself a bed, so that's fine. He's just...
Rin Tin Tin was a big movie star because he was on an equal footing with all the actors, because none of them could talk, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, he had two more feet than most of the actors.
So Rin Tin Tin was silent?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Original.
And was a real dog.
So so when Sound Pictures came in, he lost
his... Yeah, he was a real hero dog. That's right.
He lost his job when the Sound Pictures came in. His voice couldn't... His bark couldn't... translate into Sound Pictures. Like, it doesn't work. He had a high pitched.
Him and John Gilbert.
Yes, they both. it did not work for them.
Yeah, they both fucked William Randolph Hearst's girlfriend, and that was it for them.
Is that the actual John Gilbert really lost his position?
Yeah, his voice wasn't that bad.
Oh, it was just a matter of bad. Yeah. Wrong place, right time?
It was the wrong hole, much like you, Dave.
Yeah, I just had the same problem.
Yeah.
Anyways, I just got Rosebud. Back from the San Diego Ramones Museum opening.
Oh, okay.
And I...
Is it a tribute to the whole band? Does it, or is Tommy Ramone not involved in it? Is he left out of the...
All the dead ones are in there. All of them.
He's dead?
He's dead, yeah.
Tommy's dead.
Yes. You didn't know this?
No, I didn't. I'm a little sad.
Well, anyway.
Tommy, person whose name I could never, last name I couldn't pronounce.
Erdeli.
Erdeli?
Erdeli. Yeah.
Okay. But there's a Y, so it should be like Erdeli?
It's Hungarian, so.
Oh, so
yeah,
Y is.
They would pronounce it some Hungarian way, like Erdeli or something.
Well, they may be gone, but they're teaming up with the Archies in an upcoming comic book friend of mine is drawing. So.
Gone, but not forgotten.
Yeah, so it's all...
They're easier to work with now. stars.
And the Archies, too. Those guys.
This is the song Carbona Not Glue, which was originally on their second album, Leave Home, on the first pressings, until the Carbona Cleaning Fluid Company objected to the characterization of their product as something you could sniff and get high with. So they had to take the song off.
Yeah.
So
what the Carbona Company didn't realize is that was the only way they would be remembered nowadays is by a Ramon song.
I heard that they still exist, but they took whatever it was that makes you high out of the product.
Oh.
So what's their beef?
And what's the point of buying it?
Yeah. Anyways, so this is basically an ad for Carbona now.
Okay.
They can't possibly object. Carbona, sure. Not glue. Jim Haddon always requests this. I'll tell him if it's going to be in the show, in the podcast, it'll be in the podcast. He'll freak out.
If all Dave's bullshit is going to be in the podcast, of course we're going to have this.
Yeah. Wondering what I'm doing tonight. I've been in the closet and I feel alright. Ran out of Carbona, Mom threw out the glue. Ran out of paint and roach spray too. It's TV's fault why I'm this way. Mom and Pop wanna put me away. From the early morning movie to the late late show. After it's over, nowhere to go. But I'm not sorry for the things I do. My brain is shot from shooting glue. Well, I'm not sorry for the things I do. Carbona not glue. Carbona not glue. Hey! 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 Wondering what I'm doing tonight. I've been in the closet and I feel alright. Ran out of Carbona, Mom threw out the glue. Ran out of paint and roach spray too. It's TV's fault why I'm this way. Mom and Pop wanna put me away. From the early morning movie to the late late show. After it's over, nowhere to go. Carbona not glue. 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 Carbona not.
Nice. You know what though? I was watching you play, and there was more than three chords in that song.
Oh yeah, that's a complete bunch of bullshit that they only use three chords.
Is that right?
Oh yeah.
Did they claim it, or was it just claimed about them as if they were ape men who couldn't actually play their instruments?
I don't think they really talked about what they did. They just did it.
Yeah.
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 I think that's true. There's not, like, you read about them. I remember reading about them as a kid. What impressed me was there's a story in a maybe it was Lillian Roxon's rock encyclopedia or Encyclopedia of Rock. Did she write such a thing?
Yes.
There was a story in something like that, and it was about Joey Ramone spilling boiling water on himself and still doing a concert, even though he was scalded. And I was really impressed by that as a kid. I remember telling my friend about it, who was a big heavy metal fan, and he was like totally dismissive of it because, you know, the Ramones were like a bunch of Neanderthal band, you know, who couldn't play their instruments, and, you know, who cares? This guy did this. You know, it's pretty impressive, right? Like, mm-hmm. You got a concert to do and you hurt yourself, but you still do the show. Now, that's a real trooper. And not the fake kind that we have here in Vancouver. A real trooper.
Are you insulting the band Trooper right now?
Would I do that?
All right. Well, I'm just saying we all hurt ourselves before the show, as is our ritual.
We all hurt ourselves?
Yeah, I mean, that's our ritual. We all hurt ourselves. I hurt myself emotionally.
Oh.
Yeah.
What happened?
Thought of something sad.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Sad. I hit myself.
Last week's show.
I hit myself in the face with a piece of metal.
Oh, what kind of metal?
Can you see the cut?
Oh, you actually did do that. All right.
I actually did do that.
All right.
I was at work, and I started moving a piece of metal before my head was out of the way, which is not a good idea. If you're going to slide something over, move your head. That's a lesson for all you kids out there. All you kids out there.
You were very close to being a Batman villain.
That's right.
You just have
slice face.
Slice face or metal, half metal face. Mush.
Metal
yeah. Yeah, just have to do all metal or slice-based crimes.
This would have been good, but
no, that's never stopped us.
But if your head had been cut off,
okay.
Yes.
By the piece of metal,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't that have not been good but great?
Mm,
No, I mean not for you.
No, okay. I was wondering. You're asking me,
well,
so
for
I.
You, it would have been your troubles. Yeah. Would have been over.
Well, yeah,
but,
I guess.
But wouldn't
guess
it
so.
Have been like kind of amazing? Like, wouldn't it be good, say, for Sneaky Dragon podcast?
Yeah.
Listenership.
No, they wouldn't have to listen to it anymore. So it's good for them.
No, they would want to listen to it.
They want to listen to.
Yeah, they'd be listening for signs that your head was going to come off. Like,
but I wouldn't be on the show. I'd be dead.
I know, but
oh, are you saying it's dangling by a thread, or is it a clean right
it's a
off?
Clean like
beheading?
I'm picturing, I'm picturing it on that. Okay. Yeah.
So do we then have Dave's corpse or the head like
in a bag?
In a bag, and you're waiting for it possibly to come back to life. Is that what we're waiting for?
No, just
or you just kind of put it on my body, and it just sort of is sort of teetering there during the show, and at some point it might just sort of shift and fall down.
Okay, I'm going to tell you, I've got a plan for this. Okay. Sorry to interrupt on this.
No, that's fine.
But what I... Okay.
We're just spitballing here.
Now, I'm not going to say who I'm going to do it to.
Okay.
But you've got two brothers. I'm just going to grab one of them.
Okay.
I'm going to take your brain as fast as possible, shove it in one of their heads.
Okay.
And then see if that works, and I can just make a U out of them. I think genetically you'd be close enough, right? And then...
It's possible, but you know, that sounds terrible.
Why? They're younger than you. They're just younger versions of you.
Not really me, though. I wouldn't like that at all.
Why? You guys kind of look alike.
No, not at all.
No? All right.
I don't think, I mean, maybe look a little bit alike, but not that much.
Dave, I want to say now you're a severed head and you're a corpse.
I only want to be
Mr. Fussy Pants doesn't like the look of his brothers, who are both good-looking fellas.
Yeah, but it's not me.
So it's you or nothing?
I am the ultimate version of me, right?
Meaning the last one.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's how it is.
All right.
So when I'm gone.
If your head would have got cut off by the piece of metal, you'd be screaming to have your brain put into somebody else's body.
He's right.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
I mean, you wouldn't be heard because your throat wouldn't be attached, but it's a silent scream, yeah.
I would be gurgling.
And I'd be going, Dave, do you want me to do that brother thing I talked about? I'm like, no, I'm my own individual person. And you know what? At retrospect, yes, kill my brother. Kill my brother and put my head.
That seems really selfish.
Okay, but seriously, which brother should I go with?
Cam.
Okay, Cam. Fair enough.
Yeah, I also came down here to San Diego to do one of my...
can I ask this a question before you go on?
All right, but before you do that, I'm going to give us all Arnold Palmer's.
Oh, nice.
Very popular
drink
here.
I don't really
right
get
now.
Outside of the States.
All right.
Did you go and visit the big boat that's down here? Is it the Queen Mary?
Yep.
Did you go visit that?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. So go on. That felt authentic, right?
Yeah.
Right, guys? Okay.
And the Spruce Goose.
I think that's in Oregon.
Not anymore. So I came down here to beautiful San Diego, the Vancouver of the United States, I might add. Basically.
Yeah.
Basically.
Maybe it's the Spruce Goose, too, that you went and saw.
Yeah, I saw both of them.
Yeah.
Both.
It goes south for the summer. That's why it's here.
I came because they wanted me to do my small David Bowie salute.
Okay.
Oh,
which
nice.
Which is a little thing. After David Bowie died in January,
mm-hmm.
which was kind of a drag, because I did have a bunch of his songs kind of eccentrically picked from his repertoire.
Yes, such as Elf Toymaker, the famous.
Yeah, exactly. Then I thought, well, I could do a little set here somewhere, and then whoever came to watch it, we could watch the Linguini Incident, which is his movie. Have you seen it? Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, I saw that in the theater.
I saw it at the Royal whatever theater when it was the 10 theaters. Yeah.
Wait, wasn't that a Guns N' Roses album?
The Spaghetti Incident.
I'm sorry.
That was a dig at the Linguini Incident.
It was?
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. It was incomprehensible.
Nice.
It was an insult.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah, I saw it.
The Spaghetti Incident, am I right, guys?
Limp Spaghetti. So, I thought I could play some of my little songs, you know, that I worked up on the guitar, and then we could watch the Linguini Incident, and it would cheer people up. And that's what happened. A bunch of people came over. Some of them I didn't know. They just heard about it and came down, and then there were party favors. I made CDs of rare David Bowie tracks to give people and stuff, and it was just, it cheered everyone up, you know. But along with the songs I was already doing, I had one particular song in mind that I wanted to do of his. That's one of his very biggest hits. but that he never played live. And
okay, let me. Okay, can I guess what song it was?
You can.
Okay, I have to kind of get a ballpark here, though, because it was a famous song, one of his most famous songs.
One of his most famous and popular songs.
But he never played it live.
He recorded it and didn't want to do it.
This isn't The Little Drummer Boy.
Not exactly, no. What it
Peace
is,
on Earth?
Yeah, Peace on Earth.
Oh, okay.
What Peace on Earth, like what they wanted to do on the Bing Crosby special that that they did like a month before Bing died. They wanted them to do a duet of Little Drummer Boy, and David Bowie said, I don't want to do Little Drummer Boy. Can't we do something else? So the music director of the show and one of the writers of the show and someone else who was working in music with Bing Crosby specials, the three of them got together, cobbled together this little song, called it Peace on Earth, and they figured out how they could do it as a duet.
Okay.
So David Bowie kind of disavowed that, and yet, you know, his record companies have kept putting it out over the years. And
that's like a single in that Sound and Vision box set.
Yeah. So he disavows it, but he doesn't disavow it. But he never played it live, and I thought, well, you could just do what he sang and see what it was. So this is actually the last song of the small David Bowie salute. It's about 44 minutes long, because I've added two
songs. That's a long song?
No, not the whole thing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is merely the last about 2.5 minutes.
Okay.
Oh.
But
so if you're out there running, we're thinking I'm going to run for 45 minutes, I'll just wait till the song's done.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah.
But if you want to run for 2 minutes, this is a good song for you.
But I think that this just by itself could be some, you know, other people should cover it.
Okay.
Because it is.
But don't you think in our minds it's so intertwined with the kind of the sort of round they do with it?
I think that be
the judge.
I think the bigger problem is Bing Crosby died shortly after this, and now David Bowie said, sounds like the song is cursed.
But you know, his toupee lives on forever.
Oh, did he say? Oh, okay. Well, let's sing it now then, and we'll see how that
happens. But you know, he was young and vital and was never going to die back then.
Yeah.
Ha ha. Ha ha, Bing. Yeah. Oh boy, Mr. Show Business. Oi, I should do more of a David Bowie impression. Mr. Show Business. Oi. It was less of a David Bowie impression. Come, they told me, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, our newborn king to see, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Our finest gifts we bring, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum. Peace on earth, can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see. See the day of glory. See the day when men of goodwill live in peace again. Peace on earth. Can it be? Every child must be made aware. Every child must be made to care. Care enough for his fellow man to give all the love he can. I pray my wish will come true. For my child and your child too, they'll see the day of glory. See the day when men of goodwill live in peace again. Peace on earth, can it be? Can it be? Oh, that's such a lovely tune. Or something like that, he says at the end. So there you go. There's that's just
very
the
nice.
David Bowie
part. Yeah, that's very nice.
I certainly hope everyone out there is clapping at the end of these songs.
Yeah,
because if not, you're a Philistine.
That was really good. You know, it's funny. I actually saw that special when it aired because I loved Christmas specials.
It's on video now.
Oh, is that right? Yeah,
and it's got Heroes in it.
Is that right?
Yeah, see, Heroes. Like,
I distinctly remember the duet, but I really don't remember much else of the show. I remember that Bing. The conceit of the show is that Bing has transplanted himself to England.
Show.
He's gone to England, right?
Yeah.
He's like living kind of like a manor house.
In his ancestor's home or something. And he's got a manservant.
It's like a Monkees episode.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. But yeah. You want to hear my Bing Crosby imitation?
Sure.
Wait, let me ask everyone out there. Do you all want to hear the...
I think they said yes.
Yeah, they did.
I can do it in two words.
Okay.
Okay, let's hear it. Ready?
Boom.
Well, thanks.
Wow.
That was good. I felt like he was in the room with us.
I felt like I was one of his children flinching.
Well, you know, his biographer says that that's not really what happened.
Oh, okay.
But it hasn't changed.
It's interesting.
Song that mentions that, so, you know. The Christmas music song. Like, do you like good music? Yeah, yeah. Christmas music. Yeah, yeah. So, spotlight on Bing Crosby, drunk dysfunctional daddy.
Yeah. So you still feed into the myth as well.
No.
I remember.
Everybody knows I'm just kidding around.
I remember listening to.
It gets scarier the more you hear it, isn't it?
It's like the Babadook.
Yeah. Once again, you say it a third time next to a bathroom mirror, and
he actually appears.
All of a sudden orange juice pours out of it.
Bloody Crosby.
But yeah, you can see where the song by itself, they wrote a little song for him to sing.
Yeah, that's really nice.
He should have sung it.
It's too bad that David Bowie was a Philistine and didn't recognize that song as really good.
Well, no, he
I think he was bitter.
He went, I'm not bloody singing that bloody little drummer boy. And then they played him that and he went, I'll bloody sing that bloody song. And then it was good.
That was spot on, by the way.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question? Is the Laughing Gnome in your small tribute to David Bowie?
It is, in fact, the first song.
Oh.
And
is it chronological?
No,
it's not, because you do that Christmas song last. So.
Yeah.
Forget I said that, everyone. That was stupid.
It's kind of... I just sort of played the songs in an order. I knew I wanted that first and Peace on Earth last.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of took this shape that...
From the ridiculous to the sublime?
Well, no, it kind of swells in the middle because there's some, like, rockers that everybody knows.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of... So it has...
Then you play songs from The Lodger and everyone's like, I don't know what he's... What song is this?
Well, that's... You know, he did that twice. I do a medley, which is the song Fantastic Voyage, which is the first song on side one of Lodger.
Yeah.
And Boys Keep Swinging, which is the third song on side two. And they are the same song. Like, you can sing one right over the other. So I do them together as a medley.
Okay.
But he did that also with, he did a sort of a funk version of John, I'm Only Dancing when he was doing the Young Americans album.
Okay.
With that band. And they called it John, I'm Only Dancing Again. And it's like 7 minutes long. And it's this funky version of John, I'm Only Dancing. But the song Stay... on Station to Station is the same song.
Mm-hmm.
You can sing it right over top, like the John, I'm Only Dancing Again version, you can sing it right over top of those chords. So
wow, very economical.
Exactly. You know, why write two songs when
you can slightly change the rhythm of the song and it works out.
But my friend Jen...
Carlos, just to play that same song again, but just do it slightly differently.
Well, he liked to pick people's brains. I'm putting it in the most diplomatic way possible. Like, I'm just reading about...
How do you mean by that?
Well, I was...
Be less diplomatic, because I'm obtuse.
The song Absolute Beginners, which also pops up in this little bunch of songs.
Which is also on The Lodger, right?
No,
it's a single. I'm sorry.
It's on Absolute Beginners.
That's just a single. I'm sorry.
But Thomas Dolby was in on that session, and they put a band together, and they said, you're going to be recording with Mr. Q or something.
Okay.
They didn't tell him who.
Yeah.
And then David Bowie shows up, so okay. So he's got this partly written song, and they start kicking it around and coming up with ideas, and then they got the song, and they record it. And that's Absolute Beginners, written by David Bowie.
But so really, written by the band with David Bowie. Although,
you know,
I was reading a book by Scott Miller from Game Theory, and someone asked him, "What makes?" I was reading something, but anyway, they said, "What how do you decide who gets song credit, like songwriting credit? Like, and so this has been like, say, Herbie Flowers, famous riff for Walk on the Wild Side. He doesn't get any money from that. I mean, even though that bass riff is obviously like a huge part of the song, he does not see a red cent from that song, which seems kind of unfair. But Scott Miller's point, his point of view was that the song is whatever you can play on an acoustic guitar and sing to. That's the song that people, that's what people are taking and covering, and that's where the credit should go. And so something like Herbie Flowers' bass riff, although it's important to that version of the song, you could do the song without that bass riff and it would still be Walk on the Wild Side.
Well, song and arrangement. What's the song and what's the arrangement?
That's right, yeah. Like, yeah. So there's a difference. So what David Bowie's bringing into the studio is a song, and he is getting an arrangement from these guys who think they're working with
well,
Mr.
That's
Q.
What he would say.
And they're probably all disappointed. They're like, I was expecting to meet Mr. Q.
It's who, right. Yeah.
Where is he? And then David Bowie is here. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I want to work with Mr. Q.
Yeah. He's the father of Maggie. Yeah. That's who I want
to meet. I thought he was that dragon living on the top of the skyscraper.
No.
Isn't that Q? Is that wrong? Am I wrong? That's right. Wait.
No, there's some
stop.
Weird.
Agree
chords.
With me. That's true, right?
I don't know the reference,
Albert
so,
Finney,
so I'm nodding.
Isn't there not a movie called Q with a prehistoric creature living on the top of a building?
Yes.
With Albert Finney?
No. Michael Moriarty.
Damn it. But that's a reference that works. So I'm happy with myself.
Fix that in editing.
I'll fix it.
And if you don't fix it in editing, we'll know you don't give a fuck about the show.
I'll add a laugh track.
I'll lend you the DVD later so you can burn it into your brain. But I played this at Central Park in Burnaby for a secure guard picnic, outdoor picnic. They hired me to come and play songs. This was Gen G and my friend Nigel Bowlers wanted me to play because they used to have me play at Chapters all the time when they were there.
Sure.
So, but her request was the Laughing Gnome. I said, sure.
Wow.
But
did she think it was a challenge?
They liked it, like Nigel's the one who suggested Jesse's Girl.
Okay.
So they would come up with, or American Pie. They'd suggest things for me to play that it wouldn't occur to me to play. And I'd go, yeah, okay, I'll work that up if I can.
That's
and
neat.
And then it would turn out to be a better idea than the stuff I thought was good to play. So what do I know? But that was the first time I played it. It was, I think, in 2012.
Okay.
In Central Park in Burnaby.
It seems like a good place for a song about a gnome.
And, you know, in New York, there's a Central Park.
Yes.
And it's a David Bowie song being played in Central Park. And he could have done it, but he just didn't want to.
No.
And this is another one he disavows.
Oh, man.
And it was a gigantic hit for him after Ziggy Stardust became a big hit.
Yeah.
Then they snuck
there was
out
that,
there.
That album David Bowie with him on the cover with short hair.
Yeah.
And you saw and you went, that doesn't look right.
No,
well, I just want to hear an album of disavowed songs. I just like
well, that would be that whole album.
That's all disavowed. Okay.
Love You Till Tuesday or something is on there. Is that the name of that song?
I do. When I'm Five as well.
Okay,
that's the second song. That's from Love You Till Tuesday. It's kind of if you're one of the posters said the David you know and the David you don't. Meaning him and me and also him and him.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of the idea is for people who are, you know, like if I went and saw some guy doing this bunch of songs, I'd go.
Yeah.
They're into David Bowie and that's kind of interesting.
Sure.
And it's, you know, I'm not throwing up because it's a white man with an acoustic guitar.
There's nothing wrong with a white man. Some people enjoy going to the liquor store.
With the Laughing Gnome, though, it's known for him and Gus Dudgeon, who was the
producer. Yes, the producer.
They did the.
Can I just say he produced the Bonzos?
They did the speeded up voices of the Laughing Gnome and presumably his brother Fred, making jokes like puns about you know he's from the gnome office, but it's done with chipmunk voices.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're interacting with the singer and stuff and.
They're like the moles.
Yeah. So
it was popular at the time.
But if you take all that stuff out and just play the song,
okay.
Then it's like this. I was walking down the high street when I heard footsteps behind me. And there was a little old man in scarlet and gray shuffling away. trotted back to my house, and he sat down by the telly with his tiny hands on his belly, chuckling away, laughing all day. Ha ha ha, hee hee hee, I'm a laughing gnome and you can't catch me. Ha ha ha, hee hee hee, I'm a laughing gnome and you can't catch me, said the laughing gnome. Well, I gave him roasted toadstools and a glass of dandelion wine. Then I put him on the train to Eastbourne, carried his bags, and gave him a fag. In the morning, when I woke up, he was sitting at the edge of my bed with his brother whose name was Fred. He brought him along to sing me this song. Ha ha ha, hee hee hee, I'm a laughing gnome and you can't catch me. Ha ha ha, hee hee hee, I'm a laughing gnome and you can't catch me, said the laughing gnome. Now they're staying up my chimney, and we're living on caviar and honey, 'cause they're making me lots of money writing comedy prose for radio shows or podcasts. Ha ha ha, hee hee hee, I'm a laughing gnome and you can't catch me. Ha ha ha, hee hee hee, I'm a laughing gnome, don't you all agree? Ha ha ha, hee hee hee, catch the laughing gnome for hilarity. Ha ha ha, hee hee hee, I'm a laughing gnome and you can't catch me, said the laughing gnome.
Nice.
Well done.
I put podcast in there.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
It's a podcast.
We got it. It was topical reference.
That's probably one of the best gnome related songs there is.
I think.
Gnome Man is an island.
Gnome Man is a.
Actually, I think that's in The Laughing Gnome.
One of the puns.
We do enjoy a pun, don't we, David?
I do enjoy puns.
It's good fun, right? Sometimes to enjoy language.
I like them.
I think it's
great.
It's all we have. We can't play guitar and sound great when we sing.
We can just make dumb jokes.
That's all we've got. We don't have talent like the other guy in the room. It's annoying, right? It's like he's magic and shit, like a gnome.
David, if you had to pick the best David Bowie album, which one would you pick?
Okay.
This is a question for the ages.
Let me ask you this one first. The best smelling one, and then let's go from there.
And you can't.
I think if there's
tin
any
machine doesn't
game
count.
With stickers, scratch and sniff stickers.
Yeah, I don't think any.
No. So you know I read a review back in like 72 of his live show, the Ziggy Stardust show. Might have been Lester Bangs wrote it, but nice. What he said was that most rock shows smell like such and such, but the David Bowie's Ziggy Stardust show is the first one I ever went to that smelled of Camay. So.
That'd be interesting.
So that one.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to rank shows by smell. Cool. Just go, what's the best smelling on it? Oh,
ask,
hello.
Ask him.
Of course, we have someone who comes to your shows right here who has an amazing sense of smell.
That's right. He pities us, our feeble senses of smell.
And hearing. Throw that onto things.
Well, yeah, so he can't see all the colors the way we do. Like, he just thinks we're idiots. They can't smell nothing.
Yeah, you can see.
He says that to other dogs. Yeah. They can't smell nothing. Yeah, they have all this stuff. I mean, they see poo. And they don't like it. And what's wrong with them?
They can see orange, but there's one good thing that's orange, and that's an orange. And then that's it. Then it's a bullshit color past that point. There's nothing else good that's orange.
For instance, my car that I had before that I liked quite a bit, that was orange. Thanks.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know that if you were a dog. You would just be happy with your car.
I would be
happy. Maybe a tiger is a cool thing that's orange, but that's about it.
You're talking from an animal point of view. Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought you were just dissing my car.
I was dissing your car.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's fine then. So you've Which David Wayne?
Well, you know, whenever you ask anybody, it's always the first one.
Answer the question, Senator. Answer the question, sir. Simple question, sir.
Hunky Dory.
Hunky Dory.
Because it's the first one I got. Because I'd read about him, and you couldn't get any of his records in the record stores I was looking in around here. And then one day he was on RCA and Hunky Dory. There's that David Bowie guy, and he's wearing some kind of Lauren Bacall pantsuit or something. Okay, that's the guy. I'll get that. And then me and my friend took it home, and we listened to it, and we both went, well, this is really good.
Yeah, that's my favorite one, too.
Yeah.
I think it's...
is it the first one you heard?
I think it is the first one I heard as well. Yeah. And, you know, you heard Changes on the radio, and you like that a lot. But, yeah, it was the first one I found it used somewhere, and I picked it up. And it really... And I came to it kind of late. I already, like, knew Yes, so I knew who Rick Wakeman was before I knew that he played on that. So when I got that album and I discovered he played piano on it, I was kind of excited to know
Rick
that.
Rick Wakeman is on Absolute Beginners, too.
As well?
Yeah.
Huh, interesting.
There's piano arpeggios, that's him.
Yeah, yeah. There's that documentary about David Bowie, 5 years.
Yeah.
And there's that good part with Rick Wakeman talking about doing the piano parts on Hunky Dory. It's interesting.
There's that box set, right, that called 5 years that came out last year, which mm-hmm. is basically his first. It doesn't have every track. They didn't make it comprehensive.
Which is incomprehensible.
But they did make, well, yeah. But they did put two things on there that are only on there. So if you have every other David Bowie thing, mm-hmm. like some people in this room do,
yeah.
Then you need those songs. However, you could get them for 99 cents each on iTunes. So that's what I did. So the Party Favor CDs had those two songs on there. So if any of the people there were big David Bowie maniacs, they were probably pretty pleased when they got home and realized that.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have to buy the box set. But they just announced that there's another, the next box set covering the next 5 years is coming out shortly. It's called, I think it's called Who Can I Be Now?
Hmm.
But I don't think there's anything weird or unreleased on there other than when he was doing the initial Young Americans album. I remember reading about this at the time that he was going to call it The Gouster. Which he said was some kind of black person hipster term in the 70s when he was recording it.
Yeah.
Which I've never seen the Gouster anywhere anything.
Yeah. Do you think someone was just being mean to him and told him that?
Yeah.
Said, no, this is a word we use. It's a Gouster.
Teddy Pendergrass told him that. Not Teddy Pendergrass, sorry. Luther Vandross told him that.
He was working with this funk band with,
Fix it and
with background singers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the songs got released, so it showed the track listing. And the first track is that funky John, I'm Only Dancing Again. And Who Can I Be Now? Young Americans is the second last track on side two.
Hmm.
But they've got a little cover for it and stuff, and it says The Gouster. So I guess we'll finally get to the bottom of that whole Gouster.
Is it a different picture on the cover?
Yeah.
Interesting.
He's kind of laying down. He's got a newspaper on him. It's a weird kind of.
If anyone out there is a black hipster from the 70s, also please let us know if that's a thing or if someone was just being a jerk to David Bowie.
Yeah, that's. I'd like to know.
Yeah, I gotta say, I wish that Jim, as a like man, like as a generic term for someone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, Jim. I wish that would come back.
Well, let's bring it back now.
I think
like you mean like buddy or pal, you call a guy Jim?
Yeah, like mostly hey, black guys did it, but there's one Lou Reed song where he does it, so it's obviously a urban street thing that you know is anybody could do it.
I'm afraid it had faded even when I was a young man. I never called anyone Jim.
No, well it was short lived. It didn't go past the 70s.
Is it really bringing it back? It sounds like we would be it'd be reincarnated or resurrected from.
People will know. People will go, I remember that. Because probably I haven't watched like Shaft or
The new Shaft or the original Shaft?
No, the original Shaft.
You haven't watched the original Shaft?
No, I have them. I haven't watched them for a while.
Oh, okay.
But I bet if I put that in.
They'd say Gouster. He'd say, Gouster right away.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, you're some kind of Gouster or something?
Yeah.
You know why he didn't call that? Because he knew that Steely Dan was going to make an album called Gaucho, and he thought it would be too close. I know it was 5 years later that they made the album, but...
Groucho Marx did An Evening with Groucho. That
That's right. And so he was like, this is too many...
years later, Jim Woodring did that Jim book. You know, so there's that.
Is it Jim Ghoster? Is that the full name?
I'm just trying to participate. Yeah. I don't know much about music. I'm trying my best here. I'm just petting the dog as much as I can.
It was a person who secretly wrote a book for someone else in the hip black community.
Keep going.
A ghoster writer.
There you go. Okay. See?
I didn't think I had to go that far.
Hey, good job, Jim. You really Jimmed that one, Dave.
Do you think it's strange that a word like cool is still kind of a cool word? Like, you can still say cool and people don't go, why is he saying 23 Skidoo Daddy or something equivalent to that?
There hasn't been a word to replace it.
Well, yeah. But there's been attempts.
I think I said this on your podcast before.
We don't listen to our podcast.
That one day, my hip cousin Ruth, who had Peter, Paul, and Mary albums, and they were very hip, very au courant.
Yeah.
She sat me down in her kitchen and she said, there's a new word to replace cool.
Yeah.
And I said, really? She said, yes, this is the new word.
Okay.
Mint.
Okay. But we don't really use that word now.
Well, we don't now, but I did hear it for a while.
Yeah.
But it never replaced cool.
No, it can't replace cool.
And cool is
still, I mean, there's hip, but hip, yeah. I mean, people still kind of use hip, but I think hip has more of an ironic sense to it than cool does. I mean, you say, oh, that's pretty cool. People know it, then no one's going to sneer at you like you asked what Twitter was. You know what I mean? Like, cool is still, it's still a cool word. Mm-hmm. It's just weird that word is hung around. And man, too, as well, like calling someone man. That's still kind of a thing people do. I dislike dude, though. I don't like people calling each other dude. That I do not like. I feel like that is passé. It's gone out the door. Left the room. Left the building. Left the earth. It's gone in a spaceship and flown away.
Okay.
Well, that's your preference, Jim.
I'll accept Jim over dude.
Okay. Hey, let's try and use mint.
But here's the thing.
Let's try and use mint. All right, so here's the thing. I'm going to say something.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think? It's like having our guest here in the studio today.
It's pretty mint. Is that what we wanted?
I don't know.
It doesn't really work. But if I said pretty cool, you'd be like, oh, that's right. Right on, Dave.
Yeah, I think it was just mint by itself.
Just say mint.
Is there a gum that's like cool mint flavor? Am I thinking?
Double mint.
No, I know. I'm not confusing it with double mint, obviously.
No, it's double mint.
Oh, what's the two mints for double mint then? What type of mints?
There's cool mint flavor Tic Tac, isn't there?
That's right. There is cool mint. So that's double good.
What's really cool mint, about cool mint Tic Tac is when you first put them in your mouth, there's no mint taste initially, just a sort of vanilla taste.
Yeah.
There's something in the coating that prevents you from tasting the mint initially.
Let me just say that I think they ripped that off
from
Dynamints. When I was a kid, Tic Tacs tasted straight mint when you put it in your mouth. Then Dynamints came out.
Yeah.
And Dynamints had that vanilla ice cream flavor to start. Okay. And then it led you to another flavor. Then Dynamints went out the door. And all of a sudden, Tic Tac goes, hey,
Do over the Dynamint thing.
That's because the Tic Tac people killed the creators of Dynamint.
Well, do you know how they killed them?
They take them over. Killed them.
They killed them competitively, and the way they did that was to introduce Tic Tacs at the checkout counter.
Yeah.
And that's what turned their fortunes around.
And to make sure it was dead, they killed Dynamite Magazine as well.
Dynamite Magazine?
And they made sure Jimmy J.J. Walker became a right winger.
That's right.
And they went, then no one will like him either.
And they also completely disappeared the word ghoster from the English lexicon. As if no one has ever heard that word nowadays.
You know who is a ghoster? Bill Cosby.
Is that right?
Because he's blind now.
Yep.
And I think that's what ghoster means.
Oh.
Blind Bill Cosby.
Okay.
I
was reading that in the paper too. Yeah.
For some time. I'm just going to say it.
You're just going to say whatever. I was going to say something about
I Spy.
Oh, about
it's not
Dude.
Really, it's not really cool My to talk about I Spy now that Bill Cosby's blind.
It's fine. The
says he's blind.
Oh, that's a good point. Why are we trusting that guy all of a sudden?
That's right.
That's what he says, right?
We should be going up to him and just right in his face to see if he.
You're just kind of seeing if he'll flinch. Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
David made a punching motion, which doesn't really work very well on podcast. So I'll do some color commentary.
Yeah. They heard the tension in my voice.
All mint with this, Dave. Like don't worry about it.
I'm like Jim's
that's
cock.
Right, Jim.
Okay, so wait, that was a joke we were talking about in the car, right? So it really made no sense.
One more time.
I said I'm like Jim's cock doing the color commentary here.
That's right. It makes no sense. Jim.
Anyway, Jim.
Would you say Jim's cock is kind of minty?
Listen, guys.
But it tastes like vanilla at first.
What happens?
That's how they get you.
What happens in color commentary stays in color commentary.
Well, I just ate a big meal. I guess I could have a little. Oh, come on. Literally. Literally, oh, come on.
Oh, come on.
Nice. All right. I just want to say, my problem with the word dude is I think my real problem is because there's people who aren't very cool using it at work right now.
Well, the problem is you dress like a cowboy. This is one thing at work.
I wear my sheepskin chaps.
Yep.
My large 10-gallon hat.
Yep.
My holster, obviously, but the double holster. I've got on either hip. And my white shirt that buttons down the side like a Civil War shirt.
A kerchief.
I wear a kerchief. Yeah, that's true. But I carry that.
You have a First Nations companion with you at all times.
At all times.
And you're riding a horse.
Around work, yes. Yeah. Naturally, I don't want to walk places. That's a lot of work. Right.
You've got a badge that says Sassy Sheriff.
It's all about me.
And you're upset that people call you dude.
Yeah. What the hell?
What did I do to deserve this?
Clearly, I know how to ride. I'm not a dude.
Well, no, yeah, no.
Now you're just being a horse hip.
Yes. Are you gonna play another song, David? You're strumming your guitar.
I feel like we're those like that dickish ventriloquist dummy where the other guy just wants to sing a song and the ventriloquist dummy keeps interrupting with his bullshit and you're like, just let him sing.
It's not bullshit. It's very important. I thought we should get that cool thing out of the way.
No, it's you know, like concerts are too concerty, I think, now. Mm-hmm. Like people, they're not really listening. They're just sort of waiting for all the songs to be over and then they go home.
Well, that's me.
You don't want anything to happen during the show.
My problem at concerts is as soon as the music starts playing, my back starts to get sore. And it gets progressively sore throughout the concert. And at the very end, I'm just like, okay, we're over now, right? And then they always insist on coming back out again, which I find really terrible. I'm against the encore now.
I don't know. Like, young people probably don't look at music as something cool to do. I think if I was a young person now, I wouldn't look at the music scene and go, wow, that's mint. I want to be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And what they really don't
wait want, don't you think there's more bands than ever now?
Well, in Vancouver there's more old bands than ever.
Yeah.
And old audiences, and you know, I think we've gone into this before where, you know, it's like, you know, Night of the Living Dead music scene. It's bands that from 40 years ago and the audience is from 40 years ago and they all look the same, just older, and they go and they play and everybody does this stuff. But what never happens is kids aren't there going, I want to be like them up there, which is sort of an important part of the thing.
Well, I think if people are too wrinkly and if while stepping off the stage hurt their back, I don't think there's many kids that want to do that.
No.
That's not what they're looking for, and they're cool in the mint factor.
Well, they do have a magic box in their bedrooms that can get them anything they want and show them anything from any period of time.
Well, yeah. I mean, my nephew plays guitar, and how he learned to play guitar was by watching YouTube tutorials that showed him how to play songs that he liked. And he's a big Beatles fan and stuff like that, and that's his... But his experience of music is through YouTube. It's by listening to songs, and that's how he likes to learn to play. So I don't see that's necessarily wrong or that he's backwards or whatever. I feel like there's so many bands out there now. Like,
but
there's way more than
ever.
As
an uncle, you have to take him to some good concerts.
It's an unfiltered, uncurated number of bands.
You must curate and filter him then. That's your job.
I guess
there's not enough boredom. You know, when I was a kid,
I was
super bored. That's why I started like wanting to play music in a band. It was just out of boredom, and I was bored with, you know, I liked what I heard on the radio, some of it, but I wanted more, so I'd go seek it out because I was bored.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd try things because I was bored. You know, take acid because I was bored, and then that got boring. And you know, like boredom. You know, like nobody wants to be bored. No one has to be bored. You know, if you got a smartphone and Wi-Fi, then you can be just sort of entertained for free forever, but it isn't the same thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Boredom is a really important part of the creative process. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think people get bored with endless supply, and they'll get bored with it, and they'll just sort of go, well, let's all be Jehovah's Witnesses now, and then it will become a thing, or you know, whatever.
But when you were a child and you were bored, or when I was a child and I was bored, and yes, boredom was an obvious thing, not all of us became musicians. Like, you had to have the germ of an interest in music, or the talent, the ear for it, the something that made music seem like a choice. You just didn't choose it out of nowhere.
I just liked it.
Yes.
You know, I liked it, and I was, you know, playing little, you know, I played trumpet.
Yeah, I like music too. I'm shit at playing music.
Yeah, but you can draw. See, my drawing is so haphazard. My hand is doing something, and I look at it after. Okay, that's horrible. I never show that to anyone. Whereas you enjoy doing it, so it's just a thing.
But
you probably started doing it because you were bored and you had something to draw with and a piece of paper. Sure.
You have someone?
But I also had stories I wanted to tell.
Well, it's the same thing.
But did you have someone, like when you were playing? I'm talking to David, the artist over here. Just to clarify, and when you were playing your music, did you have someone go, stop it, it's racket, boo, or just like no encouragement?
No, not really. I didn't get encouragement, that's for sure. Actually, I had to quit my guitar lessons because I was not getting good marks in school. So it had nothing to do with guitar lessons, believe me, because I was barely doing any of my homework for those either.
That was the thing with our school, is like every time we'd fuck up, they'd cancel drama.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that's not helping nothing. Now I hate this even more. Like, that's not the thing to cancel. Cancel the beatings in the playground, maybe, and we'll see how that goes. But you were in a band, like, weren't you? Ever?
Yeah, I played in a band, but I was terrible.
Well, this is what I don't get. Terrible. I never did music except for that band I was in.
Because I can't understand how music fits together. Like, I don't know, like, why a bass player plays the part he plays and how two guitar players play together.
Ask your friend. He's right here. Well, he's a musician.
That David knows.
Just ask him.
Well, no, you know how to listen to it.
Yes, I know how to listen to it.
That's much more important. Like when you're doing it.
I love music.
I listen to it all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, like when you do it yourself, the hardest thing is being able to hear what you're actually doing as if it was someone else doing it.
Yeah.
That's really hard.
But I think you did something that's harder than... That's harder than just sitting and playing music. I mean, you actively created a career for, you know, I shouldn't say a career. That sounds a little, I know you don't like that idea of careerism, but you actively created a band and songs, and you created albums. Like you made a band history. You know, you just didn't sit in your room and play the guitar on your bed. You got together with friends and you made records and you wrote songs and you did that every day. You went into your parents' basement and you got over whatever the hell it is that makes us not want to do things like that. And you did tons of songs. That's something that not everyone does. And so it's more than just boredom. To me, there's something else there. There's a spark or whatever that's driven you to write songs and stuff like that. I remember walking with you one time and you told me, I'm writing a song and I don't want to write songs right now. So I've named it A Toy for Goats because I hate writing this song so much.
Oh, that's good. That one's good.
It's a good song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I remember.
But you didn't want to write songs at that time.
No, I don't need anymore.
Yeah, that's your weird thing. It's like you were at the patent office closing down at the end of the 19th century. Well, I don't need any more songs, everyone. I've got enough songs. Yeah. As if you can stop a flow like that.
Well, yeah. Well, you can. You can try not to, but then just once in a while, what'll happen now is I'll write a song that lasts about 40 seconds.
Yeah.
You know.
Like, and then you figure that's good enough.
I don't love your kids like you do. Okay. I hear the music. I know the words.
Yeah.
I'll add something to it, and then then I add something else, and then it's 2 minutes long, and then I got another song. Oh, great.
I understand what you're saying, but it's interesting, isn't it, that that happens unwillingly, that against your will, you created a song. That's a curious thing.
Yeah, well, if I am actually trying to write a song, like I wrote one called So Long, Hey Kid. And
I love that song. You're going to play it today, right?
No.
Why not?
I might.
Psst, don't say no to me. Turn off your microphone.
Or A Song for Mom in quotes, which sounds like it's about my mom, but in fact it's about Heather Reisman and Chapters.
It's the president of Chapters.
It's a musical idea with words, and I'm working on it, and I'm walking the dog, and I'm thinking about it and thinking about it, and it's kind of gets monotonous, but that's just, you know, I just kind of let my subconscious or whatever it is that's doing it, just kick it around. And I know when I've got something that I want to keep, sometimes I'll think of something and then I'll think, well, that's good. And then I'll forget it. But I never panic because it always comes back and, you know, whatever. But it's just a thing. Like when I'm dead, which...
Yeah, it's a long way off.
Soon, yeah. I know. I hear what you're saying, soon.
Yeah, I live Stan Lee, so that was good at least.
Excelsior.
Yeah, yeah. then, you know, people can go, well, there's that stuff, you know, that's the thing he did. So, you know, it'll do me no good at all. And it's not, you know, like as far as making money from it, like, forget it. You know, I mean, even if the music business hadn't have collapsed, you know, it was never a big lucrative thing.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, like, but that's, whatever.
But that's really, I mean, that's sort of what you did it for. But that's not entirely what you did it for.
It doesn't matter. I mean, if
you're having fun, right? You and your friends are having fun.
Well, you come to realize, you know, you guys are still young yet, but eventually you will come to realize that what you do, that turns out to be who you were. You were living day to day, and you were doing who you were.
Yeah.
Right. So that's. There's nothing else. There isn't anything else. After this life, there's nothing else other than what you do in this life. And you should not be bored if you can help it. And you should do if you're doing something, you should also do something else. Because something different is almost always good. It's good to do different things. It's good to do other things.
Yeah.
You know, to this day, if I think, you know, if I think of something like, I want to do a show where no one is admitted, as soon as I think, no, who would do that? Well, no one's going to do that, you know. Then it seems like a good idea to me.
Yeah.
Like thinking of doing Peace on Earth by itself. No one's done it, to my knowledge, ever.
Yeah.
So why not do it?
Sure.
And then you become the guy that did that.
Yeah, but you, even unwillingly, step by step, you create a back catalog, let's call it that. I know it's going to make you open your mouth. In a derisive way, but you know, it's kind of, well, I don't want to equate your songs with my stupid title cards, but it's sort of the same thing. You turn around and you go, oh, I've got 241 title cards. What the hell? Or we have 240. We have 242 shows. Like, what the hell? How did that happen?
Yeah, well, like, you just did them.
You just did them. You didn't think about it.
You weren't thinking about doing that.
It's weird, though, when to accept, like, I have a hard time sometimes accepting compliments for stuff I've done, because I'm like, well, I just did it. You know? So it's like, oh, that's great. Okay.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that's it. Well, but it is, you know?
You talk a little bit about when you're writing a story.
Yeah.
Like, how often for you are you just walking down the street and suddenly in your mind you're like, oh, I've got this idea that's almost like from beginning to end in my mind?
Sometimes. And sometimes it's annoying and I don't want it to make it work. Fuck, now I got to do it. Yeah. It's like we've brain damaged ourselves, right?
It's a toy for
goats.
Like,
you've done stuff. Yeah, you've done stuff to your brain, and now your brain is a factory that makes this shit.
Yeah.
Even if you don't want to make this shit, it's going to keep making the shit.
And you have to be trained for it, though, because I know, like, when we were younger and we did a lot of sketch comedy together, and I would be thinking of sketch ideas.
Yeah.
Things would happen, it would immediately turn into a sketch idea in my mind. That doesn't happen anymore because I don't write sketches anymore. So my mind is not actively looking for...
Yeah, you shut that factory down. Yeah.
I shut that factory down just by... Because the muscles got atrophied and they've died, right?
Yeah.
I could get it back probably if I started trying to write sketches again. It's not something I'm interested in, so it's not going to happen. But when I was younger and I really enjoyed doing that, that's how it works. You know, if you're not creating with, you know, if you're not using those muscles... You know, there's going to atrophy, but if you're using them, it's always there. You know, like, say, title cards. I'll listen to the show, and I'll just be, like, you know, doing something else while the show's on, probably the crossword puzzle, listening to the show. And then
you can
suddenly,
say looking at porn. Don't worry about it.
You know, whatever.
The
whatever
crossword
feels,
puzzle.
Whatever
yeah,
fills
okay.
in the empty hours.
Sure. It's and, the crossword, 1930s gentleman. Yeah,
crossword porn. And, you know, suddenly, like, right in my mind, like, I'll be like, oh, that's a title card. There it is. Yeah. I just have to make that work on a piece of paper.
Yeah, now you're screwed because you've got to actually draw that damn thing.
I have to draw
the
stupid thing. Yeah, but
yeah, the 300. Now I got to draw 300 dragons storming a thing.
But
thanks, brain.
Where you end up is not where you started going. Like when you were a kid, you weren't thinking, someday I will become very proficient and prolific at making title cards for podcasts.
Surprisingly, I never thought that.
That's right. Weird.
By the way, Ian, I mention to people that I know the guy that writes Simpsons and Futurama comics. And whenever I tell them about Futurama, like I love the Simpsons, but whenever I mention Futurama, I get a little thrill. and I know the guy that does the comic books. I mean, I used to read the comic books chapters when I made sure
we'd, and you we'd put get them out there. Appreciate that. Yeah,
sure we'd get them. Yeah, but Futurama in particular, I get a little thrill from knowing the guy that does.
I wish James Lloyd was still across the hall right now, because just before our break, we went over and visit, James, yeah, who's the artist on it, was just showing some of the art from the upcoming issue.
Ugh, so good.
And he's just brilliant. He's beautiful. It's like, here's, by the way, I think like whatever you do that the other person doesn't do seems like a fucking magic
That's
trick.
That's true. You're
like,
right.
Yeah, it's just like, I've seen you, you know, I think it was at the Cruel Elephant or something. It was like one of my favorite concerts I've ever seen you do. And my wife was there before we knew each other. And we both talk about this concert and just go, that guy had the room in the palm of his hand. Yeah, I know. Just like everything. Everyone shut the fuck up. Everyone was listening. They were laughing at all the funny bits. They were just rocking out at the rocking out bits. And then you did the wandering around the room. You said, I look like Lloyd Cole. I went, I don't know who that is. I looked it up. I went, oh, Jesus Christ, I do look like Lloyd Cole. But it's just like, it's magic. The guy is like controlling an entire room. How the hell is he doing it? And I've done stuff in comedy that's blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you've done stuff where we've done podcasts and you're just talking about nothing and holding a room attention.
I wouldn't say that.
It all just seems like the magic. But sorry, on the Simpsons thing, whenever I mentioned that, I've learned not to put that into intros for stuff because it confuses and annoys people.
It does.
It's like basically saying, I do the Simpsons comic book. What? What's that mean? Do you do stories from the, do you copy? It's like saying, I write the MASH coloring book. Okay, I don't know what that means. And now I'm angry and I don't want to see your thing. Because what? That doesn't make any sense. It's not a comic.
It's never is an intro to you. I just, it'll
appreciate
come,
it, yeah.
But it will come up. I mean, I own all the Simpsons and Futurama videos, all of them, mm-hmm, all the box sets. I guess there's not going to be any more Simpsons box sets, so I have a complete
If they can
set.
Find a way to make money off them, they'll come out in something. Or
yeah.
You know what? They'll probably come out in like an action figure that you put on top of something, and it's going to automatically download. I bet you anything that's what it actually will be.
Okay.
But go ahead. Sorry.
Well, monetizing these things is what it's all about.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still think the best thing is, you know, like a Futurama box set's better than just having access to watching videos.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and I know everyone doesn't feel that way, but I think a lot of people do. So I personally don't think that physical media is going anywhere. too much stuff in this life is designed for people who don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who they're catering to. They're trying to get some money out of people who don't give a shit. And I think that's wrong. I think you should not give a shit about people who don't give a shit. And you should just give a shit about what you give a shit about. And then the like-minded people who also give a shit about it, well, you can all give shits together.
And so, yeah, and some people will want to shit on that.
Yeah.
But that's
yeah.
their shit.
Yeah.
So just do your shit.
Wow. Yeah.
No shit, Jim.
Mint.
Which brings us to this Robin Hitchcock song.
Oh. Speaking of Jim.
My wife sits down in a chair and peels a pear. I know she's there. I'm making coffee for two, just me and you. But I come back in with coffee for three. Coffee for three. My dead wife sits in a chair, combing her hair. I know she's there. She wanders off to the bed, shaking her head. David, she said, you know I don't take sugar. My wife and my dead wife, am I the only one that sees her? My wife and my dead wife, doesn't anybody see her at all? No, no, no. No, 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 no. My wife sits down on the stairs and stares into air. There's no one there. I'm drilling holes in the wall. I'm drilling holes in the wall. I turn round and my dead wife's upstairs. She's still wearing flares. She talks out loud, but no one hears. My wife and my dead wife. Am I the only one that sees her? My wife and my dead wife. Doesn't anybody see her at all? No, no, no. No, 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 no. And I can't decide which one I love the most. The flesh and blood or the pale and smiling ghost. My wife lies down on a beach, sucking a peach. She's out of reach of the waves that crash on the sand where my dead wife stands holding my hand. Now my wife can't swim, but neither could she. And deep in the sea, she's waiting for me. Yeah, she's waiting for me. Oh, I'm such a lucky guy, 'cause I got you, baby, and I'll never be lonely. My wife and my dead wife. Am I the only one that sees her? My wife and my dead wife. Doesn't anybody see her at all? No, no, no. No, 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 no. No, 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 wife and my dead wife. Am I the only one that sees her? My wife and my dead wife. Doesn't anybody see her at all? My wife and my dead wife. Am I the only one that sees her? My wife and my dead wife. Doesn't anybody see her at all?
I'd like to see a sitcom.
Okay.
Or a TV show all come right, out
pitch
of
it,
that song.
Pitch it.
Well, he just pitched the whole show right there. I like that idea. I like the idea of the wife who's from the past and is kind of stuck in a different era,
mm-hmm.
the flares.
Okay.
You know, she's not wearing a straight leg.
Okay.
Like, this is, you know, the song's like 1984 around there that song came out? 82, 84? That kind of... I Often Dream of Trains. That's the album that has it on there, is it?
No, it's Black Snake.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, Phagmania.
Okay, Phagmania, that's right, yeah. I do have those albums, but I just get them all mixed up, of course. But, yeah, I think that would be an interesting show. Like, this the idea
otherwise,
of, like...
The Ghost and Mrs. Mirror.
Yeah, that's a captain. That's a sea captain who's haunting a woman.
Still a ghost.
I know, but it's not the same as like
Charles Nelson Reilly's in that, right? Am I remembering correctly?
Who what?
Charles Nelson Reilly is in that?
No, no. Or maybe that was like you think of the sitcom because there was a film with Rex Harrison as the captain. And,
right.
Yeah, but there was a.
Who was the woman in that? Who? Which actress?
Hope Lang. I think it was Hope Lang.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. Can't remember now.
Was the ghost magic? Could he float stuff?
No, but he kind of helped her.
Topper,
he helped her, right?
Yeah,
it's been a while.
Standing around looking, like, kind of posing like Yul Brynner in The King and I a lot.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But a sailor.
But a sailor. Yeah. But no, it'd be more, this is kind of fun because, like, you've got a wife who's, like, you know, you love.
Yeah.
You've married her.
Right.
You know, and she's part of your new life.
Okay.
And then suddenly your dead wife suddenly starts showing up.
Okay.
And she's from your past and, you know, and it's out from this different time.
All right, now is the husband in this a dumb guy or is he
No, I don't think he should be dumb. I think he should be
Who's playing him?
You know, do you remember that show My Partner the Ghost? It'd be kind of fun to play on that a little bit. Like
No, but I can kind of guess what it's about.
Okay, well, it was about two private detectives.
Right.
One of whom gets killed, but he still helps his partner.
It really feels like a lot of shows are that.
Yeah.
But that feels like
this
a,
was a very,
very
this
common
was a 60s,
concept.
60s British show, so I think it kind of bumped the, it kind of created
well,
the trend.
We long for death.
We long for a death that we can understand. We long for a death
that
we can understand.
That would be a good title for a sitcom. We long for death.
That's what the show could be called.
Yes.
That's what the show can be called.
It reviews itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
More things should review themselves. It used to happen all the time. It hardly ever happens now. We're all so savvy to these things.
Like, give me an example, because I don't know what you're talking about.
Just that one. A TV show called We Long for Death. And then you just... print the title.
Yeah. Oh, one just called Give It a Miss.
You mean we know what it...
Okay, Spinal Tap had the album Shark Sandwich. The review was Shit Sandwich.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Reviewed itself.
Reviewed itself. I got you. Okay. All right. Oh, I see what you're saying. We put in the review into the... The capsule review is contained in the title. Like, it's an easy switch around.
Yeah, like when people call our show Shitty Dragon.
Yes. Then we know exactly what they mean.
Yeah.
They've got their shit
together. Or like they call the Completely Beatles Completely Shit.
Once again, they have totally shit.
What they're saying
is that we have our shit together.
Well, my future album, which has about 200 songs to choose from for it to go on,
yeah.
is called, and there's a song goes with it,
yep.
but it's called Now Is Not the Time.
Nice.
So
I like it.
It pre-reviews itself.
It leaves a nice opening for reviewers who can be mean to you.
Yeah, but it's
nice of you to do that.
Shuts people up when they ask me if I'm working on anything.
Now is not the time.
Yeah, it's called Now It's Not the Time.
You don't have to say that. You just say Now Is Not the Time.
Well, no, they mean ask me later.
Oh, okay.
I want them to never ask me again. So that's what I do. You know, Alan McInnes, are we aware of?
Famous Georgia Strait writer, Alan McInnes, who does a very good blog called Alienated in Vancouver.
Yeah, very good. He's a good guy. He's such a good
He's a great
guy.
I watched him struggle. Went to see De Palma. He was...
Coming out on video, by the way.
Coming on video. Good. I'm glad. It's good. It's a good good movie. Well worth watching, everybody. So when the video will be out, you can...
If you want to hear Dave review it, two episodes ago,
the entire show, me talking about that movie. It's very dull. Alan McInnes was there to get his press pass, but he had done something wrong on the internet, and he was in trouble. So I got to see him, like, he was apologizing, but then also trying to, like, assert his authority as a media maven, but also apologize... But then assert his authority, but apologize because I don't want to put you guys out. But really, I'm a journalist. You should be. But really, I don't want to. It's kind of interesting.
Okay.
There's a lot of, it's interesting dealing with organizations.
Have you ever wanted to be any kind of maven?
Have I ever wanted to be a maven?
Yeah.
I think I would like to be a podcast maven.
Okay.
And I think we're kind of getting there. If we do one more sidecast, we'll be mavens. That's how I feel.
I never wanted to be a maven. Never more did I want
to be a maven. Yes. I wanted to be a real tough one, to be an iron maven.
Well, yeah, see, he's a good guy, and like a good person.
Yes,
he has good qualities about
sure,
him.
Sure, sure. What you mean is he comes to your shows.
Well, he wrote a review for the little music magazine, local thing, not even a magazine. It's a piece of paper folded up called The Skinny. And
okay.
He came and reviewed one of my Chapters shows where he was the only one in the audience.
Okay.
And then at a certain point, a woman came and sat down, or cute girl, as he said, and it was my wife, so, you know.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, but anyways, it was a good review, and he, you know, he's a good guy and stuff, but, so I've known him for quite a while, for, you know, 10 years, maybe.
Sure.
Now. But I'd never looked back on his earlier blogs, and it turned out the Christmas show that is one of the discs in the Christmas box set, the 2004 one.
Okay.
He was there, and he reviewed it, and it was just this total asshole review, like he's saying, you know, why don't they shit or get off the pod? What is this Gorgo and stuff? Just, you know, total slam, and he hated it, and I think he left halfway through because he thought that was the end of the show or something, but anyways, just a total rip, and of course, next time I talked to him, I brought that up, and so all this time, he knew he had written that,
yeah.
And he was probably hoping that I'd never find it.
Yeah.
And then I found
it. Oh, the internet will get you every time.
But it's probably good that I didn't, that was not my first experience with him, with seeing that, because I'd probably never forget it, because, you know, you don't forget these things.
No.
But it goes to show, you know, these things are situational, right? And there's nothing really personal about it. People don't really mean it, you know?
He was playing a character.
Kind of.
In his blog, and that the character was his reaction.
Yeah, you got
to
have a strong opinion. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, can't go, it was all right.
Yeah.
Can't do that. I'm sorry. I just want to say real quick. I just like the idea, though, that he was sitting and he was the only guy watching you. Then, you know, this pretty woman comes and sits next to him and he goes, just gets up. This is becoming too mainstream. like before he was popular.
Well, anyways, his mom died. thinking. He was in a similar situation to the situation I used to be in, where he had a mother to take care of.
Yeah.
And she could live by herself, but she needed a lot of help. And she was out in Maple Ridge. So he's trying to, he's got a girlfriend out here in, near Metrotown they live now. But he was constantly going back and forth. To me, that's always, a brain eater, Jim Cummins.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. He had parents he had to take care of. Like the art weirdo kids in the families end up staying in the area. And the responsible, go-getter kind of siblings, they all fuck off somewhere. So they're not around to help with anything. And,
that's a plan I like.
Don't get me started on my ex-brother. Total piece of shit. But anyways, so Alan, the commute by bus.
Yeah.
He's working in Vancouver. He's living in Metrotown, and he's going out to Maple Ridge all the time. But it's a sign that someone is of good character. But his mom had her health was failing, and they had a memorial sort of lunch kind of get together at the seniors building in Maple Ridge where she'd been living for her friends and people that knew her and stuff. And he asked me and Pete Campbell come and play some songs. So Pete did a couple, and I did a couple, and we did a couple together. Actually, we did one of the ones we did together was "Old Blah Dee, Old Blah Da," which turned out to be something that he was singing with her she was in her hospital the last time.
Wow.
And there were a couple of things they specifically requested. This one I started playing, and I was going to put it in the David Bowie thing, and then I played it because it kind of fit his thing. His parents, when they were, back in the 50s, before he came along, there's pictures of them, and they were like, young hoodlum troublemaker-looking people, full of beans and ready to cause trouble and stuff, just fantastic look, So I kind of thought of doing this song, and then it is now in the small David Bowie. And it's from Hunky Dory. So.
Oh, nice.
So I played this at the thing for Alan. And I play it for him now. Will you stay in our lover's story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. We brought a lot of things to keep you warm and dry, like that funny old crib on which the paint won't dry. I bought you a pair of shoes and a trumpet you can blow, and a book of rules of what to say to people when they pick on you. 'Cause if you stay with us, you're gonna be pretty kooky too. Will you stay in our lover's story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. And if you ever have to go to school, remember how they messed up this old fool. Don't pick fights with the bullies or the cads, 'cause I'm not much cop at punching other people's dads. And if the homework brings you down, then we'll throw it on the fire and take the car downtown. Will you stay in our lover's story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. Will you stay in our lover's story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. Will you stay?
stay in a lover's story? Will you stay? Will you stay?
Very nice. Hard to believe that the person that song was written for just directed Warcraft.
Imagine that. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, Duncan Jones is David Bowie's son.
Wow.
The director did, you know, Moon and
yeah. But I didn't know. I didn't know he directed Warcraft.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
There you go.
That's a little
bit
of trivia for everyone out there in trivia land. Yeah. Nice. Very nice. I love that song. Because it's from Hunky Dory, and I love that album. I just like the whole sound of that album.
You know, come to think of it, Dave.
That's true. We are a couple of kooks. With a
now,
couple
who's
of kooky
Lisa
kids.
Again?
My wife, Lisa.
Right. That's your wife.
Yeah.
Now, who would you like to be your ghost wife?
Oh, Louise Brooks. Okay. Anyway, let's go on with.
Did you read that, Louise
Brooks? No, I did not read the book. Oh, I probably shouldn't know any more about her after I said that.
I know, it's a good book. It's,
yeah, I know.
I thought there was nothing, I mean, there's nothing much to
I think I have that
career.
Book.
Who is Louise Brooks? I'm sorry.
She was a silent film actress. She was very famous for doing a couple of films in Germany, notably Pandora's Box for G.W. Pabst, the German
look,
director.
The
it was a look, yeah. She had that bob. And nice. You've probably seen the profile picture of her.
Ask me who my ghost wife would be.
Who would your ghost wife be?
Poyle. From Harvey Comics.
Poyle?
Yeah, that's Spooky's girlfriend.
Spooky's girlfriend, Poyle.
Yeah. She was always, when I was a kid, I always thought she was very
pretty.
Pretty
good. And I like the fact
too
that
too good
her,
for Spooky,
yeah.
That jerk.
And I like the fact that her name is French for P.
It's not for Pearl?
No, that's right. Pois is P. Guys, I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. It's late.
It's too Pois.
I've been working today.
It is getting a little late, but we got time for maybe a song or two more.
We have a song for
you requested a song.
Yes, I did request a song.
Then you can end your damn show.
Ooh. I like when you play songs I ask for.
I'm walking away. So long, hey, kid. I'm talking today. So long, hey, kid. I'm making my play. I made my bid. You wanna know I gotta go. So long, hey, kid. I'm hitting the road. So long, hey, kid. I'm leaving my load. So long, hey, kid. I'm out my abode. I ain't half hid. Deep as the sea, my mystery. So long, hey, kid. Framed here in a doorway where you may stare. You may cat a name, any old story rare. You may dare, you play fair. Oh, way out to stay out, another passion play out. Each lock is a key. So long, hey, kid. We gotta be me. So long, hey, kid. Free, shouldn't I leave? Hell, I just did. High in the sky, that'll be I. So long, hey, kid. Do, 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 do. So long, hey, kid. Do, 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 do. So long, hey, kid. Do, 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 do. So long, hey, kid. Do, 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 do. So long, hey, kid. Broke, buddy, I'm bust. So long, hey, kid. Got bloodied by trust. So long, hey, kid. Buddy, I must. Like Frank or Sid. Wasn't it me? Wasn't it so? What did you see? What did I show? Where will I be? Where did I go? So long, gay kid. So long, gay kid. So long, gay kid.
So long, gay kid.
Thanks. Thanks for playing that for
me. That's a pretty magic way to end the show.
I
hope you don't blow it as you wrap this up.
Everyone, thank you for listening to the show this week. If you'd like to contact us, you can contact us at our website, which is sneakydragon.com. You can write to us by email at sneakydragon. Oh, darn it all, I wrecked
it. Yep, you blew it. The end.
Ah, fuck it. SneakyD at sneakydragon.com. We have a Facebook page, which is Sneaky Dragon. You can find little things there. You can also find things on Twitter at sneak_dragon and our Tumblr page, which is Sneaky Dragon. If you go to Tumblr, and you can follow us there, and you can get the same things that appear on the website there.
Hey, Dave, is there any place people could ask us questions?
Yes, because we have a question show coming up, everyone. That's going to be episode 250, which is approaching very quickly. Everyone who asks a question will get a little prize pack from us, including our We're So Jar collection, which is some comics, jam comics that Ian and I did together when we were younger and more vital. And some other stuff, stickers and buttons and whatever kind of crap we can find, we'll throw in there. And we're going to have a grand prize, which will be a t-shirt and something else that's really nice, I'm sure, and some other stuff. And what we're asking for are questions or answers that we'll provide the question for. Every question or answer gets a chance in a raffle hat. So you could win the grand prize after our show is done. We've got lots of great questions with, and going to take the show in lots of interesting ways. But there's still time for you to ask us a question, so please do that. We'd love to hear from you and love to answer your questions. Is that good?
Yeah. Could I also just say thank you to San Diego Comic-Con for having us here?
That was very nice of them.
It turns out it's 2 weeks after the con is over. So that
weird.
Explains
it's
why only Stanley's ghost is here.
Excelsior!
That was mint, Jim.
Thanks to David M for being on the show.